Christmas is a lot better when you're saved. A whole lot better when you're saved. A whole lot better when you're saved. Just look at Matthew chapter 2 just a second. And that very familiar scripture there, Matthew 2. And then I'll just say a thing or two. Turn my monitors off or down on this one, Brother Mike. Matthew chapter number 2. If somebody don't have a Bible, you might want to share yours with them, and we can all read this scripture together. Matthew chapter 2 said, now, verse 1, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men, that's what I use Sunday morning, from the east say, to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Now, we all know that that's around the world. It's a custom, tradition, even a national legal holiday here in America to celebrate the birth of Christ. Now, there's a lot about Christmas and has to do with Christmas that is not scriptural. We all understand that. We all understand that more than likely the Lord was not born in December at all. More than likely it was in April. More than likely. No, I don't know if nobody knows that for sure. But the fact is, we use this day to think about or honor his birth. There's nothing in the Bible that says you're supposed to do that. There's nothing in the Bible that forbids you to do that. So it's a thing, it's kind of up between you and God, how you would look at toward Christmas. But what I'd like to do tonight is say, if you're going to have a Christmas, it ought to be a Christian Christmas. And so I'm going to give you 10 commandments, just for a few minutes, on a Christian Christmas. Boy, I like all these songs. I like all these, the Bethlehem star, all of that kind of stuff. I've always lived. Best Christmas I ever had, I believe, was right after I got saved. I mean, it was more real to me. I understood the Christmas play. I understood the wise men, the shepherds. Man, I'm telling you, it got real to me, and I loved it. And so that's what it's all about. Here we go. Commandment number 1. And you can mark these down or write them down or whatever you want to do. Commandment number 1, thou shalt not leave Christ out of Christmas. Thou shalt not leave Christ. And he's be included. The Lord's supposed to be included in our plans, in our Christmas activities. A Christmas party that you can't take the Lord to probably is a Christmas party that we shouldn't go to. It's probably, we should keep Christ in Christmas. I know that's a little cute, little cliche, but it's true, brother. It's true. We ought to keep Christ in our Christmas. That's what it's all about. You know what blows my mind is the ACLU fighting everything with the name. They'd want name of Christ completely out of the holiday. And that's the whole purpose. The ACLU stands for American Communist Lawyers Union. And that's not really what they call themselves. That's what they are. And they're raised up to fight against anything. And they'll jump at the chance to defend a crook and will not stand for them. Why would it bother you if somebody wanted to put up a manger scene? What's the big deal? Madeline Mary O'Hara about flipped out because they put a manger scene. More, but if there ain't no God, if I didn't believe there was a God, do you think I'd waste my time traveling around making speeches against him? If he doesn't. They probably really do believe he's real, you know. They're just hoping he ain't so they can live like a devil. But anyway, keep Christ in Christmas. Some of you, when you get together with your family tomorrow, you might be the only Christian in the whole crowd. And it's going to be left up to you to stick a word in. Now, it ain't no trouble for me. I don't have no trouble at all. My family got together at 11 o'clock this morning, and I don't ever have to say, hey, I'm a Christian, can I say something? I mean, I don't ever do that. You know why? Because I'm a preacher. They always say, now, Danny, you'll come and say grace. And I stand up and say, grace. And they said, "What?" I said, that's what you told me to do. They said, don't get smart with us. You bless the food. And I said, I can't bless it. And I said, I can ask the Lord to. And, oh, shut up. And I'm just messing with them like that. But they always say, would you ask the blessing on the food? So I pray. And what I do, you can go into, you know, while you're praying, you can kind of stick in a little something. Anybody ever done that? Raise their hand. I don't know if that's right or not, but I do it. And I've done it, you know. And oh, God, please help if there's any of our family not living right. God, you know who they are. And, you know, kind of preach to them a little bit, you know. Like I could get up here and I'd say, you know, I'm not going to call no names or nothing, but these people wear these red coats to church on Christmas so they can, I'm not going to say who, so they can be seen and get glory of men. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But that's what you do when you're praying. Say, dear God, bless the food now. And I thank you for keeping us all safe. God, we know we ought to be in hell. You know, all they want you to say is, Father, we thank you for this food. And this. That's all they want you to say. But while you got the microphone, brother, that's a good time to get it in. Amen? And I mean, get down. Oh, God! Oh, God! Don't let none of my family go to hell. You know, like that. I mean, pour it on them if you want to. Nothing wrong with that. As long as it's coming from your heart. As long as it's coming from your heart. Grab her hand, you know. Say, God, if there's anyone in here not saved, if there's any of them that go to the lake on Sunday and lay out of church, get them, Lord. Amen. No, don't do that. But keep Christ in Christmas. Keep Christ in Christmas. Make him a part of everything. Make him a part. My sister, we go up to her house, you know, and you know how my sister is. She last year, she had us all to sing the 12 Days of Christmas. And it was the most terrible. Everybody had a day. Like, my day would be 6 geese a-laying, 7 swans a-swimming, 6 geese a-laying. Then somebody would go, 5 golden ring, 4 calling bird, 3 French hen, 2 turtle doves. And a part, and everybody would have a different part. And all you had to do was, when it was your time, say your part. So I'd stand there, you know, and I'd be, say, 8 maids a-milking, 7 swans a-swimming, 6 geese a-laying, 5 golden ring. And they could not get it right. Could not get it right. Could not. They'd mess up every time. Mess up. And all you'd have to do is wait till it's your turn and say, 7 swans are swimming. That's all you had to remember. And they'd say, oh, is it my turn? You know, you ought to try that sometime. We've done some bunch of fool stuff like that, you know, and they'll draw names and they'll give out gifts and they'll do that. But just make sure you keep Christ in Christmas. I tell you, a good idea, we didn't this morning, but good idea is read the Christmas story from the scripture in Luke chapter 2. Say, now before we eat, got a little scripture here I want to read. Read about 30 minutes. First 3 chapters of Luke. And say, oh yeah, the Christmas story also includes the second coming. And 1 Thessalonians 4, he's coming in the rapture. And then there's the lake of fire. That's all in the Christmas story. Merry Christmas. Use the opportunity to keep Christ in Christmas. Well, to keep Christ in Christmas. That's the first commandment. Second commandment, thou shalt not value thy gifts by their cost. For many shall signify love is more blessed and beautiful than silver and gold. What does that mean? That means don't say, well, they didn't spend much on me this year. About your husband, bless his heart, he might be doing the best he can. About your wife, I spent a lot on them. They didn't buy nothing. Don't measure your gifts. You know these people? Rich people that just say, here, go buy here. They tell their secretary, here's $1,000. Go buy my wife a bunch of presents so she'll shut up for another year. That ain't love. You don't measure a gift by how much money somebody spends on it. You don't measure a gift by how much money somebody spends on it. We have a situation in Marion right now. I don't think anybody's here who knows except my girls. There was a young man committed suicide. I've known this boy since he's that high. Committed to kill himself. Boy, yes, he shot himself. And he's 30 years old in Marion. The family is so pitiful. I mean, so pitiful. There's 4 kids in the house. The youngest one's 2 weeks old. They have a Christmas tree with no decoration and no presents. Daddy in the funeral home. Mama weeping. Grandpa. There's heat in the house. Last few days, they've been heating their house with a stove, the kitchen stove. You know, imagine how it's been. This is in Marion. Now, I know you're sitting there right now thinking, well, sorry, people ought to get up. Wait a minute. You can't blame the kids for that. That ain't the kids' fault. And they can't help it. And boy, them little kids ain't getting nothing for Christmas. Nothing. or at least they wasn't. They are now. I told my Carrie today, I said, you know where them? She said, yeah. And I said, well, let's get some money and go buy them some. So we all gave money for my family, and I think we gave them about, $160, something like that. And she went to Walmart and bought them all a new coat and bought them a bunch of stuff and took it to them. And far as I know, that's all them kids is going to get for Christmas. And you know what? Them little kids, she said, when them kids seen that new coat, they grabbed that thing. They jumped up and down. They valued that. It tickled them to death. And some people get a $1,000 diamond ring and say, that ain't much. You know what I mean? They value it by money. They think it ain't the money. It's the heart and the love and the feeling that you get. If somebody gives you a gift this year and it comes from her heart and they really mean it, appreciate that. Not how much it costs. I mean, we all would like something nice. I mean, who wouldn't? If a person's done the best they can, and your mom and dad spent they work hard, and they, you know, money don't grow on trees. I know how it is. When my kids is little. I mean, they're about grown now, but I still have to buy them stuff. We're getting ready to go open presents after a while. But did you know, you got to realize that all you kids got to realize is, you say, well, everybody in my neighborhood's getting something nice. If your mom's doing the best they can, your mom and dad does the best they can, and they love you and try to make you do right, you ought to thank God for your mom and daddy. Amen. You ought to thank God for your mom and daddy if they're going to get you to do right. Amen? You may not thank it now, but the day's going to come when you'll look back and say, praise God, I had a mom and daddy tried. I remember my daddy, he would do something at Christmas time. He'd finagle around. He'd buy guns and sell guns and dogs and sell dogs. He'd sell one of his best dogs and go get Christmas money and go buy something. He always did that every year. And so don't value gifts by how much it costs. Commandment number three, thou shalt give thyself with thy gifts. Your love, your personality, and your service will increase the value of your gifts 100-fold. The spirit in which you give something to somebody. Okay? Give yourself with your love. Like the guy I was telling about a minute ago, here, secretary, here's $1,000. Go buy my wife a month's Christmas present. He don't give any self. He's just saying, get it over with and get her out of my hair so she won't, you know, he's not giving his self. You know what the gifts that mean the most to people are? Is one that you know somebody really put their self into. My nephew brought my mom a picture album today, and it tickled her to death. And we bought her this, and my sister bought her stuff and all that, but that was her favorite gift because he'd put pictures in there and something he made, you know? And just, that's the best gifts. Somebody makes you something and puts a lot of time into it. I know Miss Dot, she's not here tonight, Dot Rumfeld. One year, she made me a quilt. Still got this quilt in my house at New Manor years ago. And she made me a quilt and put the castle right in the middle of it. And then around it, she sewed little squares and put every family in the church last name on it, embroidered. And I mean, she put a lot of work into that, buddy. There's no telling how long it took. I used to kid them. I'd say, boy, it's easy to pray for all of you now. I just lay down and cover up. God bless them. God bless them. And touch them all like that. I used to do that all the time. I never did do it, but I told them I did. And just joking with them. But you know that, I've still got that thing, and that meant a lot. That meant a lot, man. Somebody puts effort into something. That's the gift that means the most to you. All right, commandment number four. Thou shalt not let Santa Claus take the place of Jesus. Lest Christmas become a fairy tale rather than a sublime reality in the spiritual realm. That's good. Of course not. Christmas to us is Jesus' birth. And the reason we give gifts is because God gave the gift. You know what the Bible said? God so loved the world that he what? Gave. So when I give you a present, or you give me a present, we do that to honor God giving his son. You know why we wrap him? Bible said she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. So we wrap them presents and hand them to each other. Amen? And give them to each other. All right? Commandment number five. Thou shalt not burden thy servants. People work for you. The sales girl, the mail carrier, and the merchant shall have thy consideration. What does that mean? That means the guy who's working grocery store, and I mean people are, what's the word nowadays? Stressed, brother. They're out there and they're about ready to scream, pull their hair out and everything. Don't make it harder on them. I've done pretty good yesterday. I got finished up my shopping yesterday. And boy, I was amazed at how people were getting in line. And I do that too, you know. I see somebody coming down this way with their stuff, and I push my buggy faster so I can get in the line before they do. Do y'all do that? Shame on you. Shame on you. You should prefer others before yourself. But I just, it's natural. It's just natural, man. I was coming around through there, and I was looking for a parking place, and I seen one. And this guy, he was sitting right in front of me, and he would not move because there was no parking place. And there's people trying to back out, and I said, "You sorry thing, you." I was sitting there thinking, "You sorry dog, man. You ought to be going on." People's blowing their horn and everything. "I want that parking place. Bless God. You get out of my way." But that's not the right spirit. It really isn't. You know, it's Christmas, man. Get out of my way. Knocking people over. They fight over them. And used to fight over them Cabbage Patch dolls. People used to, push each other and knock each other down and everything. That ain't no kind of Christmas spirit. I was in a Super Walmart last night, and there's back there where the camera company is, develop film and stuff. Man, there's this girl working in there, and she said, "I'm just not coming back this month." And that woman turned around and said, "Well, it's your last day anyway." She said, "Well, I ain't working on my boy." They was just giving each other down the road. I thought, boy, we really got the Christmas spirit in here, ain't we? People fuss, people get mad, people get aggravated. There'll be all kinds of fights tonight. Tonight's Christmas Eve. There'll be more people kill themselves this week. Just like this young man I was talking about a while ago. I mean, that's awful. It's awful that Christmas has become a time of so much stress. How many people you think tomorrow evening is going to say, "Thank God it's over with"? Have you ever done that? And that ain't the way it's supposed to be. That ain't the way it's supposed to be. Yet all this cooking and all this having to clean the house and all this stuff, somehow or another we've missed it, man. We've missed it. We need to get to where we think, you know, just chill, man. Read the Bible and give somebody the presents and relax and enjoy the birth of the Lord. Because if he hadn't come into this world, we'd be bad shape. Bad shape. All right? Number 6, thou shalt not neglect thy church. Its Christmas services are planned to help spiritualize the Christmas season for you, your family, and your friends. Thou shalt not neglect thy church. That's true. That's true. Thank God for all you that are here tonight. We got a good crowd here tonight. A lot of people said, "They ain't no use in having church tonight." Will y'all listen to me over there? They ain't no use in having church tonight. Just call the whole thing off. You know something, brother? Our sign out there says we have church on Wednesday night. Yes, sir. You know, if we don't, we're lying. Yes, so we're going to have it. By the way, if nobody's here, we'll have it just us and the Lord. But hope that you'll not neglect your church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, New Year's Eve, be here. Be here. Don't neglect church service. You say, "Church, Lord, I ain't going to church. It's Jesus' birthday. What you talking about? Why would I want to go to church?" That's crazy. That's the wrong kind of way to think. Number 7. Thou shalt not neglect the needy. Do something for somebody that's needy. I told somebody, we have 2 girls here tonight who don't have a place to live. In the service. And they're in need. They're in need. And there's other people here tonight that have needs. A lot of our bus kids have needs. We bought 6 bicycles. I didn't personally. I'd done some stuff, but I didn't buy one of the bicycles. I bought a sled, but we bought 5 or 6 new sleds, 5, 6 new bicycles, and done it. You know why? Because Christmas is about helping needy people. And they like these girls and people like that. You know how God will treat you how you treat other people? Did you hear me? Amen. God will treat you how you treat other people. I give you a verse of scripture for that, brother. It said, "He that stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, the same shall cry, but it'll not be heard." We said, "Boy, I wish God would hear prayers." Are you listening to the cry of the poor people? Something to think about. God will treat us like we treat other people. I don't want to mean sound like a TV preacher, but it's a scriptural truth. Sometimes God will make what happen for you what you make happen for other people. You take care of them, He'll take care of you. The churches that I know God's blessing are people that reach out to poor people and people who need help and people nobody cares about and people nobody loves. That's why God's going to bless Shining Light Baptist Church. It ain't because of me. I ain't nothing special, but we've got a heart to reach out to people that nobody else don't care about. And if long as we got that, then God's hand's going to bless us, because that's what He's interested in, brother. He's interested in people. He ain't interested in 40-mile-high building and stained glass windows and a steeple up. There ain't nothing wrong with that. But that ain't, God's not impressed with that one bit. He's interested in little boys and little girls and old drunks and prostitutes and alcoholics and all that. God loves people, and that's what He's interested in. Don't neglect the needy. Don't neglect the needy. Give somebody something. Do something for somebody. Pick out somebody in here and say, I'd just like to do something for old so-and-so. And help them out. Be a blessing to somebody. In honor of the Lord, be a blessing to somebody. It's like Carrie, I told her today, I said, you find out where them kids are, they'll get something for Christmas. I was going to come tonight and beg y'all to let's all buy them something. I mean it. Amen? If you know of anybody else that ain't getting nothing, tell me. They'll get something tomorrow if I got anything to do with it. I can't stand that. I can't stand thoughts of some little kid waking up on Christmas morning not having nothing. So don't forget the needy. Next. Thou shalt be as a little child. Christmas is the day of Christ's child. Not until you become in spirit as a little child are you ready to enter the kingdom of God. God wants us to have an attitude like a little child. Like a little child. He don't want us to strut around like we know it all, can do it all. We're Mr. It, you know. We're hot stuff. God wants us to have the attitude of a little child. Number 9. Thou shalt prepare thy soul for Christmas. Most of us spend time and money getting gifts ready, but not many people get their soul ready. What if you spend as much time praying and preparing your heart as you do wrapping gifts and decorating? Lord, we was going up Spruce Pine the other night. We was going up to Pine Bridge. And there's an old red house on the side of the road there. And they had more lights than Gatlinburg. Maybe not that many. But I'm telling you, brother, it was lit. It looked plum tacky. They had the bushes decorated. They had the fence decorated. All different colors. Lights. It looked like somebody just dropped a bunch of lights out of an airplane and landed on their house. And their yard all messed up. It didn't make no pattern to it, you know. Just all, I thought, Lord, how. But the decorating they did. I'd hate to take all that mess down. But, if they want to do that, I don't care. But what if we spent that much time praying and getting our heart right with God? You know, next Wednesday night could be like a little revival for us. I've been praying. I want to make a new fresh start for the new year and rededicate my life and start all over again and do it right this coming year. Amen? How about y'all? I've been saying I'm going to do it right for 29 straight years. I ain't never got one right yet, but I'm going to try in 2004. Amen? I'm going to try to live perfect in 2004. I'm not going to commit one sin. That's my goal. Amen? That's my goal. That ought to be your goal. You'll never make it, Brother Danny. Well, don't tell me that. I ain't never made it yet, but I'm going to try again. Let's all make a New Year's resolution. I will not sin in 2004. All right, there's one sister it won't. You'll be the first one to go down.
No. I ain't that far yet. I'm just going to try and cut back on how much.
I'm going to cut back.
I'm going to ease my way in.
Here's my New Year's resolution. Lord, I'm going to cut back on my sinning. Yeah. No, really, our attitude should be, Lord, I don't ever want to sin again. I don't want to. And I help me not to. Lord, that seems like plumb out of the question, don't it? That's what an old preacher said. He said, when I preach, I sin. When I pray, I sin. He said, My very penance needs to be repented of, and my tears need washing in the blood of Jesus. Phew. That's thinking. And sometimes even we're singing in the choir, we're sinning. Really, when he comes right down to it. Sometimes we're giving out tracts, we're sinning. We ain't got the right, our heart ain't right. So God help us. We need to try to do better next year. Well, the last one is this. Thou shalt give thy heart to Jesus. Let your Christmas list have Christ at the top. If you're not saved, the way to have a Christian Christmas is give your heart to Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight and you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, tonight would be the night to do it. If you're here tonight, come and play Miss Desi. If you're here tonight and maybe you have given your heart to the Lord, but the devil's got in and messed you up and you feel like tonight, he's a long way off. I was talking to some girl the other day. It's been a few weeks ago. And she said this. She said, it feels like there's a big wall between me and God. She said, I want to pray. She said, I feel like he's mad at me. I said, he's not mad at you, sister. He wants you to talk to him. When one of my kids, I don't want them to ignore me and pull away from him. I want them to come to me and say, Daddy, I'm sorry. That's what the parent wants to hear. God don't want you to pull away. He wants you to pull toward him. So on this Christmas Eve tonight, maybe there's a bunch of us here tonight. Maybe there's several of us here tonight. You say, you know what, Brother Danny? I want to just get that barrier down between me and God. It's like a wall. I want that wall tore down. And I know who built that wall. The devil did. I don't want that wall between me and the Lord. I want to have a good Christmas. I want to be right with God this Christmas. You say, preacher, it's been so long since I've been right with God. I don't even know if I can get right. Sure you can. Sure you can. I just read it this morning or last night. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Well, I've started over a million times. Don't matter. Start over 1,000,001. There's power in the blood of Jesus. Amen. Amen. We need to just do that tonight. Amen. Something's coming. Come on. Anybody that feels need to pray, you just come on right now. We'll pray tonight.